What's happening? Hour number three, J-Mart and Ramon. 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Along with 11-year NFL veteran Vol for Life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer. I'm Jason Martin, at Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at J-Mart Radio, at J-Mart and Ramon. Mike Tenier, Football Outsiders, brings the snark. In about 15 minutes, always a good conversation there. Frostbite on Twitter. Actually, no, on YouTube, on the chat. We'll give him top observation this hour. Top Ob, he actually @ Ron Slay, who is saying way too much right now in the chat. He says, swimming to work. You know how it is in Nashville, first day of fall and all. It is the first day of fall, and people are swimming. I'm about over it with the rain. I don't know about you. I'm about over it with the rain.
I'm not opposed to the rain. I actually like the rain because I feel like I'm always doing something, and the rain actually slows me down a little bit, man.
It's because you live on a hill.
Well, yeah, that's true too. I will not deny that. We got to have our kickback one weekend too. We've yet to get to that point where we're sitting on the back. By the way, guys,
some
renovations are coming to the back porch.
Oh,
okay. We're going to close that thing in.
I thought it was done already. I thought you already did that.
I'm waiting on my quote on it, man. I'm waiting on my quote. It shouldn't take long. I mean,
you're going to pay it in cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I am.
By the way, Cronky just mentioned this. I just saw that name pop up on Twitch. That I love the rain. It's the sounds. I agree. I love being inside and it's raining.
Yeah.
Just when I know I've got to drive somewhere at 4:45 in the morning.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, here's the other one that you haven't mentioned yet. It's because of the dog. Yes. Because when I had dogs and it was raining, it was because of the dogs.
Yeah. Fair point.
But back to this back porch situation real quick. We're getting it enclosed.
Back to the lecture at hand.
Back to the lecture at hand.
I'll let them understand.
Stogies, some spirits, and an enclosed back porch with the fireplace lit watching some games. Is that something you want to be a part of?
Yeah.
And Notre Dame.
And no. It was it this time last year?
Yeah, it was.
We were Notre Dame. Clark Lee, baby.
That was the original. That was the original big time demerit, I think.
And here's
that
the thing:
the biggest demerit.
No one noticed but me.
Then we did, and then it was grand opening, grand closing. All right.
Baby.
Speaking of opening, how about you open the scouting notebook? Let's talk about the Colts defense, which we know is solid.
I can't bring up the Colts defense without bringing up this person in particular. It was brought up earlier. I forget who it was in the zone chat, but Nico Altra.
Absolutely.
He's not on that defense. But you'd expect a little spite. Go back on the Titans.com, TennesseeTitans.com, and look at his intro interview to when he became a Titan and signed. You heard a whole lot of angst. You heard a whole lot of, I'm going to get you when I see you.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
I'm going to get you, sucker, man. But this defense, man.
Julia Roberts is awesome in that. Go ahead.
Actually, I thought it was Blair Underwood. No. That was actually
it's Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. But as a whole right now, again, it's week two. This defense ranks about 23rd in the league, man. It's the beginning. We'll see how it all shakes out. This defense is led by two guys, man. Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner. Think about this week is the same way I honestly feel about Arizona. Darius Leonard is a big linebacker. He's 6'2", 230. It's going to be interesting to see this component of this game between him and Derrick Henry as far as who's going to turn down what. That is the matchup I'm looking for this weekend. It's those two going to – not that they're going to be on each other, but big linebackers versus a big back. I feel like it's something to watch when playing against Derrick Henry. He is the highest paid linebacker in the league unless that's changed. He's that good. He's everywhere on making plays at the line of scrimmage, dropping in coverage. He's a complete linebacker, man. Two first-team All-Pros already, which warranted that contract in which he's gotten, man. Solid, solid guy from a small school. That's one thing I say about it. If you're good, they will find you, man. South Carolina State. DeForest Buckner is a handful. I didn't really know a whole lot about him other than he was a solid player when I played against him. I left that game in San Francisco when we played out there. Like, I respect this dude. He's long. He's everything. You know, you meet somebody like Ron Slay. He's like, man, I'm 6'8". In reality, he's like 6'6" and like three quarters or something.
Yeah. Wow, that was
I know he's listening. I got to take my shots when I can.
Man.
Don't never go against a person with unlimited ink or microphone, right?
He's been a dry ice bomb in his mailbox.
Just real quick drive by on Ron Slay. But DeForest Buckner, he's 6'7", legitly. He's 295. He is long arm, can work outside, inside, no plays off type of dude. He will pick his spots in which where he's going to go. If Saffo's out, you can see him all across the middle of this offensive front, man. Long range, bull rush is insane. Also, the thing that gets me with him, he's got long arms. If he's there trying to get to Tannehill, he can reach him, is what I'm saying. Block him with two. Defensive end, Al-Quandid Muhammad. I said this before at the end of the last hour. I think he's the reason why they didn't sign back Danico Autry.
Because they felt like he was the heir apparent?
Yes, yes. They picked him up off of the Saints practice squad when they released him, and he's been in their program and just working with them. He actually is leading the team in 1.5 sacks. To know a little bit about him, he said his big influence was when Justin Houston got there. And we know that guy to be an inside, I mean, to be an insane rusher. He had one huge play, man, that can't go unnoticed. He was rushing off the edge, beat an offensive guy, and then ran down Lamar Jackson in the pocket. So it shows you his speed and his range. Again, I think it may have been a decision between him and Danico Autry. Quiddy Pay, the first-round draft pick out of Michigan, he's playing a role right now, along with the name that you love, Grover
Stewart. Oh, man.
Grover, though, last year got stiffed on by Derrick Henry.
I don't even care, man. His name's Grover.
His name is Grover. I'll say this, too. Other than Xavier Rhodes, this is a very youthful secondary. Mm-hmm. This is a very youthful defense. Mm-hmm. They can either go two ways, one or two ways. They're going to be flying over everywhere and making plays because they're dumb enough or young enough to actually just find where they need to go. Or you can find cracks in their inexperience and take advantage of them.
So there could be guys that are taking risks, trying to make the big highlight reel play instead of the solid play. And as a result, you could end up with some big chunk plays down the field.
Or find an experienced guy like Julio. Go in, go out, and just work a young secondary guy, man. There's nobody off on this defense that has more than 9 years. So, again, the inexperience is there. But they do have a lot of pedigree on this team. They're committed to playing hard, nose ball, very edgy, very edgy. And everyone on this defense, like I said, is 9 years and less. They got their hands full as far as youth, the Titans do, but as a whole, should be able to handle this defense. Should be able to. It starts up front, though. Like I said, Darius Leonard and what he does, and watching DeForest Buckner. Like I said, Quiddy Pay can be a problem, and also Muhammad off the edge, too.
One thing I would say about the Colts, to back up your point there, is look at the Rams against the Bears in week one. Bears have some very talented defensive players, mm-hmm. Roquan and certainly Khalil Mack, and they've got guys, right?
Uh-huh.
And Stafford had a perfect passer rating against them.
Whoa.
Stafford didn't look quite as good against the Colts defense. Mm. My point being, the Colts have some dudes. Yeah. They have some guys that you got to watch out for, as you just laid out pretty clearly.
And to that point, if we're going to see the backup this weekend, that defense is probably going to surround that offense and say, hey, we got your back. We know we got to play a little bit harder because, like I said, I expect AJ to have a bounce back week. I know that to be true. And if they're smart, they try to take over that secondary, that young secondary. Rocky Sin, I think, is his name. He's mm-hmm. on that team. A lot of people are high on him coming out of Maryland, I think. But I remember us looking at him. It was like, nah, we'll pass on that one. But he's a starter. He's got NFL experience now. We'll see how it works. Rocky Sin, that's a heck of a name, right?
When we come back on the other side, Mike Tenier of Football Outsiders, one of our favorites. He's the one that wrote some unflattering stuff about the Titans a week ago.
Uh-oh.
I imagine he would change up a little bit based on what happened on Sunday. It is a week-to-week league, and you can only speak. I mean, look, they look terrible against Arizona. Nothing else to say about that. I'm not sure it was him that said this, but I think the Texans were like a 7.5-point dog coming up Sunday. Or no, Thursday against the Panthers. Tomorrow against the Panthers, like when they opened up. People were like, you better jump all over that because Davis Mills is terrible. Because now you got Tyrod on IR.
Yeah.
Poor guy can't catch a break, man. Well, as Schaefer said yesterday, he catches a lot of breaks.
All the breaks.
All of them. Well, it's unfortunate. But Mike Tenier will join us. We'll ask him what his thoughts are, what his game notes are from the first 2 weeks of the NFL. What 2-0 teams are real? And which ones are phony?
Nosedive.
Again, it's early, but, man, that's what we do. You react week after week. So Mike Tenier, Football Outsiders, will join us on the other side. You won't want to miss it here. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Just like the wild winged dove sings a song, sounds like she's singing.
Theme of the show, just because randomly we mentioned Ben Roethlisberger's jersey number in the first segment off of something Mike Tannenbaum had said, is the number 7. So that's the theme. So all the music's been 7 related. This is Stevie Nicks, Edge of 17. A little bit of a reach, but we'll take it.
Take it?
We'll accept it.
You going to turn down a Stevie
waiting
Nicks
for some,
song?
Waiting for 7 Mary 3 to make an appearance before the end of the show.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. There's a lot of, look, man, this is what I do for a living.
That's what I do.
I spin words. That's Ramon Foster talking
Jeremy
in the background.
Jeremy McNipple.
Yes, I said Jeremy McNipple. Sue me. Jeremy McNipple. Hope he gets cut just for that reason. Just kidding.
Oh,
hope he stays on the team forever.
Man.
It's not like you're going to stop playing the drop just because he loses his job. So,
I'm just kidding.
You know what?
That is a demerit.
Ramon Foster, that was Jonathan Schaefer giving me a demerit. I'm Jason Martin. Guest appear via the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, including one of our favorites, Mike Tenier, Football Outsiders. Mike, how are you this morning?
You guys play one Stevie Nicks song, and all of a sudden, Jeremy McNipples. Come on.
Look, man, you're
come on, settle down. That song's 40 years old. Settle down. You guys, I don't even know what to say about that. And also, isn't Ryan Tannehill number 17? Isn't your quarterback number 17?
Yep.
He's on the edge of 17.
That's fair. That is fair. I'm going to read this directly. They have played 6 miserable quarters and 3 really good ones, counting overtime through 2 games. That amounts to a .333 average, which is terrible in most contexts, but more than sufficient in Major League Baseball and the AFC South. Now I'm going to pour some water in Buck Nasty's mama's dish, Mike. That's what you wrote about the Tennessee Titans after defeating the Seahawks. What is the state of the Titans, in your opinion, right now?
The state of the Titans right now is that they're the best team in the AFC South. Mm-hmm. And I need to see more of what I saw in the second half against the Seahawks. And, you know, as much as concerned as how the offense doesn't look particularly creative, how the defense doesn't seem to be generating enough pass rush most of the time, looks like the kicker problem is solved for now, but the kicker problem is always lurking. That's all the bad news. The good news is you have no idea whether you're going to face Jacob Eason or Carson Wentz on 2 sprained ankles next week, and that's kind of the state of the division you're in right now. If you can get to okay, you can get to a little bit above average, you're going to be crushing it for the rest of the year.
Mike, can I ask you a question? How do you go about spraining both ankles?
It's a Carson Wentz mystery, folks. You know, I'm watching the news and I'm waiting for a Carson Wentz injury update that like makes sense. And I realize in Philadelphia, where I'm based, I've been doing this for the past 4 years. All I've been doing is waiting for a logical explanation for what's going on with Carson Wentz. And that's the experience that Indianapolis fans are going through right now. And that's the joy that you have in Tennessee right now. Because if he really decides to run out there and prove his toughness by getting cortisone shots, he won't get a COVID shot, but he got 2 cortisone shots in each leg. That's a big win for the Tennessee Titans because he's going to be immobile and he's going to be a mess.
Mike, I heard what you said under your breath right there. You just kind of let that one slide right on in. That worked very effectively for you. That was a great, like, Ramon just looked at me like, ooh.
Mike, what a drive-by.
Little Jeremy McNipple option on my end, too.
I love it, man. So, is this team better or worse without Carson Wentz? I mean, I know they're putting a backup in, but the fact that he can't stay on the field and they are already 0-2 with his starts, what more can they lose this week? Does this actually make them more dangerous with a quarterback with no film on them?
Yeah, maybe that no film thing does work to a degree. And, you know, we saw Eason for about 10 seconds. He threw an interception right to Jalen Ramsey on Sunday. But whatever, he's out there. He's trailing. He got thrown into the game. Look, Carson was able to move the ball down the field and then throw shovel pass interceptions at the goal line, get sacked out of field goal range, do all these other things. And when you're making those kind of mistakes in those high leverage situations, you might as well have the second year guy. You might as well have the guy who never played, because you're not getting that veteran experience. You're not getting the, oh, he's taking care of the ball and that's going to help us, you know, score points and avoid mistakes. If you're not getting that, you might as well try the other guy anyway, especially as the main guy has 2 sprained ankles right now.
Yeah, so the Titans, one more question about the Titans specifically. They got 6 straight AFC games. They're bookended with the Colts. They've got the Bills and Chiefs in there, and they've got the Jets and Jaguars in there. How important, when you look at the Titans and you look at an AFC, that there's just a lot of teams that could make the playoffs potentially. There's not a lot of terrible teams in that conference. That six-game stretch, when you're looking at the Titans as they stand right now, how do you sense they will do in a six-game AFC stretch that could well determine their season?
So I'm going to pencil in Colts win this week. Jets win, Jaguars win, and you're at 4-1 right there. Bills, Chiefs, Colts afterwards. You know, if you get a 2-1 stretch in that, you're in excellent condition. Because that means you either beat the Bills, you beat the Chiefs, the Colts are just a complete mess or whatever. If you go 1-2 in that, it's bearable. If you start taking losses to any of these teams, you know that that's a problem. I don't have to tell the listeners that that's a problem right now. But there's two phases for the Titans right now. It's like I have almost penciled them into the playoffs as the division champion right now. And it's premature to do that, but I've kind of done that. We all watch the Texans. We all watch the Jaguars. We talked about the Wentz situation. I need to see this team up against the Chiefs, up against the Bills, looking good, looking like they looked in the second half and, you know, in overtime, really, against the Seahawks. Need to see more of that before I look at this Titans team and say anything other than, oh, well, you know what, maybe it's 10-7, and you go out there and you get hammered by one of these Bills Chiefs in the playoffs. Make sure you can show me right now that you can beat those teams in the regular season.
So you're not of the belief, oh, we'll drop one down and get one later. Like, you want to see them dominate those two games in particular, Bills and Chiefs, or at least compete kind of like how Cleveland did against Kansas City.
Yeah, give me a 1-1 in those games. And also, while we're on the topic of the Jets and Jaguars in particular, beat the snot out of them.
Yeah.
You know, demonstrate, because that's what happens. You know, really good playoff teams, they don't necessarily win all the close games. Sometimes they go 500 against the other competitors. But you can tell who they are by the way they beat the daylights out of opponents like the Jets out of the Jaguars. So let's see that. Let's see this complete game. Let's see Derrick Henry have 165 yards, but doesn't wait until the third quarter to get going. That is part of the whole game. Let's see the game plans look a little bit more creative, because I'm still worried about those game plans that we're seeing from your new coordinator there. Ooh. Let's see all that in these gimme games, and then let's see good, strong competition in this tight game.
3-2-0 teams. One of them plays tomorrow night with Carolina and Matt Rhule. Then you got John Gruden and Kingsbury. Like, the Raiders beat two teams from the AFC North in a six-day span. The Cardinals embarrassed the Titans, outlasted the Vikings. Of those three teams, how many of those teams do you think are playoff teams?
I don't think the Panthers are a playoff team, because I think that the division is going to come back to haunt them, and they're in a really fluffy section of their schedule right now. I would probably go with the Raiders. I mean, one of the things that we do at Football Outsiders is we really look at the schedule moving forward. And one thing is that the AFC West schedules are pretty easy. You know, these teams have a lot of softer teams coming down the pike. So these teams, like the Raiders, are in position to be the ones who get to the 10 wins because they've beaten up on some weaker opponents. And they're getting the Dolphins this week without Tua, or possibly without Tua, or with a banged up Tua, and that's going to help them a little bit. You scratch together some wins like that, like the Raiders have, this was some upsets, and that's a recipe for being a team that gets in probably as a wild card because other teams have tougher roads.
One train we hopped on a little bit too quick, it seems, was, and I know they had their issues with coaches, was the Saints train. Are we still going to buy a ticket for later, or is this who they are? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm not jumping off the Saints train at all. The thing is, if it was the Saints train to the Super Bowl, I was like, oh, my gosh, it was one game. You know, they kind of short-sheeted the opponent, steamrolled there. If we're talking about somebody that can win their division, it can be a thorn in the side of Tom Brady, etc., then I'm still on the Saints team. Yeah, I just pulled up the Football Outsiders playoff probabilities. These are updated every week. And the Saints are a 50-50 playoff team right now. So that might be a little lower than some people thought. I know it's a lot lower. Some people jumped off that train clearly in the last couple of days. But they're still a slight favorite, odds-on favorite to make the playoffs this year.
So Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a team, they lose to the Raiders. Roethlisberger's got a pec issue. Their entire offensive line has been reset. Najee looks the part, but there's no space for him to operate. Mm-hmm. How do you sense that in a division where Cincinnati looks better, Cleveland we already knew was good, and Baltimore just came off a huge win over the defending AFC champs and 2 years ago the Super Bowl champs?
You know, it's funny. I was just pulling some stats on running backs getting hit behind the line of scrimmage this year. And of course, Derrick Henry's number one, but you expect that. They feed him the ball. Najee's been hit behind the line of scrimmage a little bit less than Derrick Henry. And that's an indictment of that offensive line there. And you're right, he looks the part. He's stiff-arming his way for three-yard gains when he was hit 3 yards in the backfield. But to answer your question, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. Those AFC North teams are going to beat up on each other. Pittsburgh's going to have 2 games against Baltimore, 2 games against Cleveland. Bengals are a little tougher this year. They've got a really tough upcoming schedule, and that's going to limit them in their chances going to the playoffs. And then you look at teams in the AFC West, and the Raiders already have a big win or two under their belts and have an easier schedule. The Broncos, my God, their schedule is ridiculous this time of year. Every team they face is the Jets or Jaguars, it seems. So they're riding high. The Steelers are going to find themselves, you know, behind the eight ball if they can't get a couple of more, you know, tight upsets like they got against the Bills in Week 1.
Yeah, go ahead, Mo.
Man, I'm a sucker for people trying to get a redemption, okay? And the guy that's on my radar, man, is Danny Dimes in New York. I feel like that last game wasn't on him, but it looks as if Danny Dimes can't get the job done. And Daniel Jones is who I'm talking about. Like, what are the Giants in this whole ordeal? What is he? I mean, we saw what Sam Darnold looked like when he leaves New York. Is that what we need out of Daniel Jones also?
Yeah, I think so. You know what it is when you look at teams where everything's clicking? If the quarterback has a great game, it's a win, and if he has a bad game, the defense picks him up. Or the offensive line picks him up against a tough defense. Or the running game picks him up. Or the coaching staff calls something brilliant. None of that happens with the Giants. Daniel Jones has one of the strongest games. They're like, you know what? They still lost. They made mistakes on special teams. They made mistakes on defense. They let a backup quarterback beat them. And you watch him, like, running the option and doing some of these design runs. And we've seen this from the Giants before. He does that for a week, and then they forget it exists. They forget it exists for 3 weeks or a month after. It's like, hey, you know, you can run the read option with Daniel Jones. He can run a little bit. Nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to sit in the pocket here and throw passes underneath Evan Engram. So that might be it, where Daniel Jones is a change of scenery kind of guy. Now, that said, I'm not sold on Sam Darnold having turned things around yet. We talked about Jameis Winston already in this. Sometimes a change of scenery for these quarterbacks where you wait for years on them, it's, you know, his future really is as a really good backup. You know, right now, Mitchell Trubisky is backing up Josh Allen, and that's a great place for him. If Josh Allen gets hurt, Trubisky comes in. It's like, oh, this is a good team. They're going to get a win or two with Trubisky if he just kind of runs the ball a little bit and throws deep. That might be Daniel Jones' future. He makes a lot more sense as Patrick Mahomes' backup or Russell Wilson's backup in the future than he does out there with this team that can't really support him, getting a mixture of really bad losses and really tough losses.
Mike Tenier, Football Outsiders, with us. And I quote, hang in there with us. We're going to get better. The one thing about Jacksonville and the 904, go to sleep knowing there's not going to be any group working harder to get this thing flipped. Unquote, Urban Meyer. How sad is Urban Meyer right now behind the scenes?
Yeah, it's really telling. It's like, we have to deliver this message right now. You're 0-2. Your team is always 0-2. He's still thinking like it's Ohio State. He's still thinking like it's Florida, where it's already an impending disaster if you lost your early season non-conference games. And that's it. It's almost like, you're better off saying nothing and just doing it than delivering this fake Tebow pledge, which is what that, you know, sounds like to a lot of us there. So, yeah, he's sad behind the scenes. Or there are reports that he's angry behind the scenes. And, again, I'm not going to be the guy every time a college coach gets fired. It's like, let's do an Urban Meyer joke right now, because he's going to do that. By the end of the season, the jokes aren't going to be jokes anymore. It's going to be real. Unless he performs a miracle and turns that Jacksonville Jaguars team around, he really is going to be looking at those college ranks and looking at a possibility to go someplace where what he does is more successful.
Yeah, we'll make those jokes for you, Mike. We've been making them already. We're going to continue. They're not going anywhere. I mean, I think the only reason he went to the NFL is because, I get a chance to coach Trevor Lawrence. I get the number one pick. I get to go coach this generational guy who unfortunately has thrown 5 interceptions. That team's just not good. You look at them and the Jets and the Falcons. That's the one that's maybe sort of under the radar terrible. Mm-hmm. How bad is Atlanta?
They're bad, but they also, you know, they face Tom Brady and a juggernaut this week, and they kind of play tough against them. But there's a lot going on. They're off in the trenches. They're very bad. Offensive line is not very good. Defense, it's been years. They don't have a lot of talent there, and that's what's going on. So you see Matt Ryan, and you're like, these guys should be more competitive, but he's out there and Calvin Ridley and a couple other guys by themselves. Jets have nothing. Jets have no talent whatsoever. So it circles back to the Jaguars, where if you look at their receiving core, look at their offensive line, you're like, this should be a little bit more competitive. There's a lot of veterans here. There's a lot of guys who've been good in other stops or had potential. You know, you can kind of say, well, it's a rebuilding situation for the Falcons. Jets are like a 2-3-year rebuilding program. What's going on with Jacksonville? you turn and it goes back to, well, maybe Urban Meyer really isn't the guy for this team.
So on the way out, the second best quarterback in the AFC South this week will be Trevor Lawrence, Jacob Eason, or Davis Mills.
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna go with Jacob Eason, and my lips to Carson Wentz. He Wentz his ears because he doesn't respond well when the backup plays well. Let's just leave it at that. And but I think that's a distinct possibility because Mills is terrible, and you know Eason has a possibility to go out there and Frank Wright's system and surprise a lot of people.
Mike, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks so much for making time as always.
Violence.
Always pleasure. Take care. Enjoy your week, guys.
You too. That's Mike Denier, Football Outsiders. It just came to me. Think about the quarterbacks that might be starting in the division. I know we're adding Trevor, and that's sad, but the Jags are terrible, and Urban Meyer's wrecking them.
Yes, y'all two chose violence, and that was last two.
Think about that. Davis Mills and Jacob Eason might be two starting quarterbacks in the AFC South this weekend.
And Mike better than Trevor Lawrence.
Because the Jags are that horrendous.
Bad. Yeah, it's not Trevor's fault.
No.
I'm rolling with Tanier here. I feel like Frank Wright might put Jacob Eason in a better situation than what Urban Meyer ever
will. I would tend to think that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, didn't even
Davis
register.
Davis Mills.
Didn't even register to me.
Think about that. Tannehill, way up here. A rookie quarterback that's struggling on a bad team. And then two quarterbacks that you're like, who? Who was that?
I
knew Davis Mills at Stanford. I knew Jacob Eason in the Pac-12 and at Georgia. I don't mean nothing about the NFL, though.
Davis Mills sounds like one of the characters from Trading Places.
Facts. I feel like...
It's fair.
I know Taylor Lewan calls himself dad, but if somebody photoshopped Ryan Tannehill with the three backup quarterbacks right now in the AFC South and say dad's home, they ain't wrong.
Get on it. Get on it, James Lewis. Wrong. Get on it.
He's dad now. He ain't even that old. I'm with Tanier. If they don't go out and bash this team this weekend, I hate to put that pressure on, and a win is a win, but it's got to look dominant against.
For real, dude, you got to knock that hoo-ha in the dirt.
Yeah. That's where I was. Now I'm getting into game mode. It's officially hump day. It's Wednesday.
I wanted to handshake for a drop right there.
I saw that one. I heard it, too. I'm with it.
I just wanted to give him a drop. Sometimes you do. Kayla gave us one earlier this week. It was clear as day. She wanted that one added to her soundboard.
I can play that later. I cut that one.
I can't
yesterday.
Even remember it, but it was classic.
It was.
Give me 30 seconds.
Yeah, perfect. But yeah, like
not all you need anyway.
The first step for a good football
Shut
team.
Shut your mouth.
The first step for a good football team is to step on the throats of bad football teams.
What did you want out of Alabama last week? You wanted them to put their foot on Florida's neck, and they let them breathe.
No, that's not a bad Florida team, though.
It's not, but you expected them to not let them breathe anymore.
Yeah. And the first thing is to beat the teams you're supposed to beat and beat them soundly. Here's Kayla. I knew Schaefer would have this quickly.
Oh, baby, any way I can do it.
She just knew it. She knew what she was doing.
Oh, baby, any way I can do it.
Kayla, Auntie Kayla needs to grow up.
She's going to get at it right
she
now.
She needs to grow up. When we come back, grand opening, grand closing.
Nope.
Yesterday was terrible, Moan.
I was like 3 for 5. Wasn't it 2.5?
One day this week you were bad. Maybe it was Monday.
It was Monday. Terrible. I was cheeks on Monday.
Monday.
By the way, there's a whole lot more people said cheeks.
Yeah, that's becoming a thing.
Cheeks.
You were Rikishi on Monday.
I don't ever want to be Rikishi.
In the corner.
My kid was scared of Rikishi.
Nice guy, but yeah, you don't want to cross him.
No,
you don't want to cross him. When we come back, Ramon Foster attempts and fails to know things about pop culture related to birthdays being celebrated today. Always a crowd pleaser. We'll be right back. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
It just gets you in the mood.
Yep, 7. The theme continues. It's 7 Mary 3 Cumbersome bringing you back here. J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. If you miss any part of this program, podcast it, including Mike Tanier, who's always fun.
He was good.
Yep. And he dropped that Carson Wentz COVID vaccine line just kind of underneath.
God, what do you say? Gotta take a cortisone shot.
Cortisone shots won't take a COVID shot.
Make it make sense, Jay.
Man.
Uh-oh.
It was a pretty funny line.
It was funny.
Titans' next six games against AFC opponents. It's the Colts, then at the Jets, at the Jags, Buffalo, Kansas City, at Indianapolis. Our picture me polling today. How will the Titans perform over that stretch? Vote at J. Martin Ramon on Twitter. 4-2 or better, 3-3, 2-4 or worse. Almost 1,000 of you in. 4-2 or better, 65.1%. 3-3, 29.6. We'll continue to update you on that, and we'll actually read some of your better comments a little bit later on. But it is time. A couple sports birthdays. Josh Palmer, 23 nice. Today.
Shout out to the young one.
Dylan Windler, 25. Dylan Windler played at Belmont. Mellon.
Oh, my bad.
Pretty solid basketball player at Belmont. Those, I just wanted to name a few. Oh, Alejandro Villanueva is 33
today.
Today
is my boy's birthday.
Yep. Might want to send him a text message. Might want to send him a text message.
You might
want
to do it right now, but you'll forget.
I would suggest not doing it now because you're going to need all your faculties. Moan, Scott Baio is 61.
Scott Baio? Beowulf? No.
That's the worst answer we've ever had.
That might be the worst answer we've ever had.
Hollywood Shuffle. Scott Baio.
Didn't feel right, didn't look right, didn't taste right, didn't smell right.
Those jeans were about four sizes too small, Mom.
It wasn't right?
No.
Biscuits out of a can?
Cheeks. Rikishi.
That was so cheeks.
Scott Baio, Charles in Charge.
Huh?
Charles in Charge.
Chachi.
I've never actually heard of Charles in Charge. At me if you've heard of Charles in Charge.
Yeah, everybody that's about 40 years old and older has. I know you're younger, but still. Don't give me the Buck Rising treatment.
When I say Chachi, what does that mean to you, Mo?
Chachi? The salsa?
I know what you're saying. That's not it.
You know?
Cha-cha or chi-chi, one. I can't remember what the sauce is. I think it's cha-cha.
Cha-cha is good on greens.
Chachi from Happy Days.
I'm going to West Tennessee Market. I'm getting some cha-cha from my grandmama, too, by the way. That's
right now, all you are is caca.
Grandma. Cha-cha, caca.
Yeah, no, you're caca right now, Mon.
I'm trying.
Joan Jett is 63.
Joan Jett. Shit, I'm going to start.
No, she's also not what the jet was named after, Mo.
Jet Blue? Duh, I'm so lost. If she wasn't in the wood, then I'm done with this game.
Definitely was not in the wood.
She wasn't in the wood?
She was not Stacy.
Look at my
she
guy
She was not
over
Michael
there.
Jordan from Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
North Carolina?
Which I remember being in the theater in Winston-Salem, watching the wood, and the whole theater exploded when he said that out loud.
Oh, Carolina.
Joan Jett Schaefer.
I love rock and roll.
That's all you need to say.
The only Joan I love is was in Mad Men.
Joan Holloway.
Yep.
Joan was
Christina
strong.
Hendricks.
Yeah. Yep.
Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll. You know that song, Mo?
No, don't.
Why'd you love Joan in
you
Mad Men?
You know I Love Rock and Roll. Come on.
You know
play
the song.
Me the tune, I'm going to know it.
You'll
the
know.
Title.
Get off of IMDb. Get out of there.
Like the great guesses. Right?
Well, that's a good point. You're kind of like the Vols last year. You're cheating and still losing.
Tom Felton is 34, Moan.
Raymond Felton's cousin. If he ain't related to Raymond Felton, then I ain't got a clue because there's not many Feltons that I know. So where are we with Tom Felton?
Tom Felton was Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter and all of the Harry Potters.
My wife's going to be mad about that one.
I thought maybe. No, I knew you didn't
Keisha's
know
she's going to be mad about that one. I got to know that one.
I'm not happy with that at all either by you.
That was
Tatiana Maslany is 36, Moan.
When you said Tatiana, I got excited.
Because it was going to be Ali, right? Nope.
Tatiana. Golly, is she in Sicario?
No.
Not in Sicario.
Television show called Orphan Black. She was also, she's done a lot of stuff.
Orphan Black.
Very talented. She was also in a couple of Parks and Recreation episodes. She's done a lot.
Oh, man.
Emmy nominee for Orphan
Emmy
Black
nominee?
As well. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Tremendous show.
Missed that one.
Okay, Moan. Michael Lawrence Tyler is 51.
Michael Lawrence Tyler. Michael Lawrence Tyler. Kiss? Aerosmith.
That's Steven Tyler.
I'm in the ballpark.
It felt right.
It felt right. Tyler Perry's director.
I can't take last names and make them first names.
I feel like I'm in the ballpark, though.
Michael Lawrence Tyler is better known as Mystical.
Hey, Ramon, shake it fast and watch yourself over there, okay?
Go ahead, Jay.
Mystical's 51.
You better stop lying.
51. Hey. That's why I wanted to end with it, because I was like, he's 51.
51? We got to play some Mystical coming back. Can we
play need to play Joan Jett if we're going to play anything coming back.
We're doing the 7 song.
I know we are.
Mystical's 51?
Yes, he's 51.
Why did you say Mystical?
Think about that during it, because why would I do that, Mom?
Yeah, you would know who Mystical is.
I hate y'all today.
I brought in Dunkin' Coffee. You with a donut. I didn't bring in any donuts because I knew you were about to do this. Fourth hour of the show's coming up. Scout Meeting Wednesday continues. Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio will join us when we come back after the top of the hour headlines here on The Zone.
Calorie Sap,